You have the same handout today, because I'm still in the same area. So we're moving on down toward verse 32. The King James covers the whole territory, which most people listening have a copy of, or another version. The 19th verse through the start of the 24th. In essence, God's fed up because he made the creation in such a way that a mind not perverted in rebellion, a mind that's not evilly focused on self-worship and self-deification, a mind that does not resist a creator, can obviously see, and I'm leading to the greatest proof against evolution, which is intelligent design. The watch requires a watchmaker. The creation screams to an open mind, God, designer, creator. And God has decided, as the thread of redemption unfolds to Christ, and timed with the bursting forth of the resurrection and the gospel to the world, that his wrath is breaking out against all who rebel against the obvious knowledge that he has decided is sufficient. And he has placed in all man the ability to see it, a little more up here. And failure to at least include God in the equation of explanation causes God to withdraw the capacity to see him. And then, as verses 24, 26, and 28 say, turn you over. Because freedom is an illusion. You're going to either accept the Creator and his love and care, or he's going to turn you over to other forces that will drag you down. That's what this is all about. And I've been weeks proving what this verse says. We're in a tunnel, as I've said so often. Evolution, scientism has conquered the world. And I think it's always interesting, because most of the people in the movie and TV production world are secret watchers. And when I get on something, in fact, there was no Discovery Channel until I proved that television audiences would live and listen to subjects that appeal somewhere beyond a third grade intelligence. The old original Saturday Night Live that produced the Blues Brothers used to, if they couldn't watch, they would record the festival. And Jay Bernstein, maker of Stars, who's been here several times. First time I met him, he said, Gene, we all in the entertainment industry owe a lot to you because you've had the courage, the ability, and the opportunity to try things that most of us are not allowed to try. Television has become real since we got on television. You used to never see a camera. or a floor director, because they were all creating an artificial atmosphere with painted scenes. And I was on live one night, and the light went out, and I had Voice of Faith around me. And then the music session, I called a crew member in to fix the light. I noticed when the music went off and I started teaching, nobody was looking at me, they were watching him. So I said, turn the camera on. Let everybody watch. Silence is prohibited in expensive television time. They even hide subliminal messages. They got to use every second. I mean, it's been talked about on just about every program, both Christian and... I didn't do it for that reason. I did it because you made me mad. And I said, if you don't call, if you don't do a certain thing, I'm leaving, ain't coming back, and it's left an empty chair in front of the camera for hours on end. None of them have had the guts to try that yet. I heard Paul Crouch say in his telethon, when he was trying to get the numbers of the phones up and they got a video display of it, in his telethon, he said, well, I know a fellow that just puts an empty chair there and won't come back to the chair until the phone calls reach a certain level. And it works, too. And I was saying, do it, Paul, do it. A lot of you don't know, we go back a long ways. I was Paul and Jan's pastor in Springfield, Missouri, at Central Assembly. And he headed the audiovisual department there. I used to preach for Jan's dad down in Georgia all the time, one of the leading presbyters of the national body of the Assemblies of God. And as I told you, I take credit for current attorney general being a success, because I straightened him out when he was cutting up in church in my first message in Springfield. His dad, J. Robert Ashcroft, was a dear friend, as president of Evangel College, where I first began teaching to help them get their accreditation in those days when they didn't have too many PhDs in the Assemblies of God. A lot of you people don't even know my history. I've been everywhere with everybody. A lot of you don't even know I was the top news story part of it, but the cause of it, the top news story, I think, was in 1970 in Orange County, when Ralph Wilkerson, who used to preach for my dad and who was in the congregation when I preached my first message in my dad's church. And for years I was consultant to Melody Land before it became Melody Land and afterwards, and was still when I came here as pastor. But when the church grew and went and bought Melody Land, they weren't going to let them have church, because they had a statute that said can't have a bar and so many feet of a church. Therefore, reverse logic says you can't have a church and so many feet of a bar, and the bars were there first. So they ordered us, under threat of arrest, and ordered the church not to open. Ralph called me, as he usually did when they had problems. And by the way, it was Ralph who called me when I had a problem. And the Sunday, as he went to London, and I preached in Melody Land, where Clara Grace came forward with her prophecy. So I looked at the zoning. The zoning said recreation and theater. And I looked in the dictionary, and theater is a place for the presentation of drama. and recreation. Hyphenated is, it means re-creation. So I took Ralph and went to the city attorney and said, we're open. We conform to the zoning. Nobody can say it's wrong or can prohibit people from gathering once a week to get their recreation from worship and from teaching and from being in God's presence. That's recreation par excellence. And Cecil B. DeMille has proved that the record of the Bible is the highest drama. So we're presenting the drama of the Bible and gathering together for recreation. Now, you know, he smirked and said, clever. Said, you go, you're going to be arrested. And I said, be my guest. And Ralph said, yes, be our guest. And 5,000 people were there. And I arrived to preach the opening service with Pastor Wilkerson. And they didn't arrest us. And it's been Melody Land ever since. See, there's a lot of history you don't know about me. I told you this before. You go down in the archives of Oral Roberts University, you will find the very first magazine published by the school. I wrote the philosophy. There it is, with my name on it, unless they bogged it out. And I don't think they have. I respect Oral. And I've always said that. I respect Oral as a man. Among a world of crooks in the days of healing evangelists, Oral was an honest man. He was straight. And his boy lost his faith at Stanford University, his oldest boy, studying Oriental languages, and committed suicide. And Oral, honest from his gut, changed his plan to build a seminary and said, I will build a university where what happened to my son will not happen. And his strength is he goes straight line to a point. Therefore, I will find a man from Stanford to help me build it. And I went in, volunteered my time, wrote the philosophy, and helped him get a faculty. Lots of things about your pastor you don't know. All the Assembly of God pastors in town don't want their congregation to know that I was the research director and the committee on advance that reshaped the Assemblies of God. And when I came as pastor of Faith Center, having chaired the committee, rewrote the doctrine, the doctrinal statement that said their purpose and their reason for being was evangelism, to a threefold purpose, because they are a church that belongs to God, and He should define the purpose, and the purpose looks outward to the world, and that's evangelism, and inward to itself, and that's ministry to the saints. So ministry to the world, evangelism, and ministry to the saints, and the forgotten ministry out of Ezekiel, ministry to the Lord Himself. Preach the message at the Council on Evangelism, where Church on the Way, Jack Hayford, have him sitting on my set. I think I'm going to pull these classic tapes out. Saying to me that it was that night at the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis when the Council on Evangelism presented the works of the Committee on Advance. And, of course, this Council on Evangelism brought Pentecostal denominations together. 11,000 preachers present. I preached the Wednesday night message on the meaning and message of the church, subsequently published in the Pentecostal Evangel. And Jack Hayford sat in our set on Broadway in Glendale. And as I had called for those 11,000 ministers, those that were determined, having preached on the meaning and message of the church, to build a church God's way, and call for those who would to step forward. Jack Hayford sat on the set and said it was that night as he stepped forward that he determined to break from the mold and go God's way, and the church on the way is a result. Lots of things you don't know about your past. Why am I doing this? I don't know. God must be leading. Red Foley, famed singer. My dad, most of his songs came from his love of Red Foley singing. Father of Pat Boone's wife. I ordained George Otis with my dad, founding member along with Pat Boone of Bible Voice, that first put the Bible on tape. Maybe the first two messages on tape was one by Billy Graham and one by me, marketed by Bible Voice. The one by me was, naturally, Psalm 84. Fred Foley died. Pat Boone's wife had a nervous near collapse, sitting in her home in grief. George took a copy of The Valley of Weeping, Psalm 84, transformed her life and brought her out of that grief. And when her mother died, she carried the tape and ministered to the rest of the family. I could go on and on and on. And God called me here. I didn't want to be a pastor. I'd been a consultant and a helper to all these ministries. And now, single-handedly, it seems, I'm taking on scientism worldwide. Oh, I'm not alone. There are hordes of people writing books, fighting back. Houston Smith's book, many of those that I'm using. Johnson, who's debating across the country, and everyone agrees the evolutionists will not have a debate anymore. They avoid it with the creationists because in everybody's opinion, they lose every time. So they won't come back and debate because they don't have the facts. It's all theory and religion. But most of this is to small audiences. No one else has the worldwide voice that can break the shell of the tunnel, media is the roof of the tunnel. For example, you may not know this. You cannot read the chapter I'm teaching, Romans 1, on Canadian television. Because of Paul's twist it, turn it any way you want to turn it. This first turnover that is in beginning the 24th verse, this first turnover is to unnatural, homosexual functions. Homosexuality now must be approved. Gays are welcome in my church. I say send every sinner in town to me. Not my side of the street. Not Paul's side of the street. And this is why the issue of a creator is so important. He did not say, it's not good for Adam to not have another guy. That's what all of this buildup is for. Because I'm about to get in the fiery territory. The reason gays are welcome here? Sin is sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of you that walked in here pure. And with waves throughout history, various kinds of sins have been promoted to priority sins. The Catholic Church has cardinal and venial sins. I was elected pastor. When I told them they wanted me to pastor, I said, well, your bylaws say a divorced person cannot even teach Sunday school or hold office in the church. And you're asking a divorced pastor to pastor you? Well, we'll change the bylaws, which they did. Fornicating is the unpardonable sin if you get caught. We may get to evolution, we may not. I might as well weave some in right now. Evolution has prevailed, and you all know the song. I said it last Sunday, and so the teenagers nod their head, they know it. Since we're just mammals, since we're all just a mammal, let's all do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. The tunnel has taken over. Evolution is a fact. You're an idiot or ignorant to argue against it. And when I get into the 24th chapter, and homosexuality is branded a sin. Period. But so is lying. It's in the list too. So is judging. Christ died for all sins. But as I just said, you cannot even read that chapter on Canadian television. I'm doing it because I'm on satellites and shortwave jumps international boundaries. And to shut me up, they got to jam it. And that equipment jams other voices they might want to hear. We're now faced with the fight in education. Your kids are supposed to be raised in school, taught that homosexuality is natural. In fact, one of the religious spokespersons for the gay community argues that what Paul was condemning was unnatural homosexuality. Those that do it just to experiment or otherwise, and it's not natural to them. Well, I don't care if you are an evolutionist and believe you've got orangutan genes in your own gene pool. It doesn't justify raping the next cook you see. Sin is sin. You do not expect this pastor to hammer away and wax eloquent for hours on the terribleness of these sins, of which heading the list, just because it happens to be first in this list, lying is first in another list. I'm not going to brutalize and embarrass this congregation by beating throughout message after message this list of sins. When I'm done, you can read the list yourself and then read the 32nd verse that not only have they moved because of rebellion, the essence of which is put myself first. I still got a bit of a ring. This generation argues, I want to do it, therefore it's right. God, if he exists at all, must be convenient to me. This me first generation. Now, I don't care whether your self-indulgence or your self-worship leads to lying, covetousness, brutality, abusiveness of every kind, or yielding to perverted, according to Paul, and in terms of its pure meaning of the word, non-natural, if there's a creator. If there's no creator, naturalness is defined by man and his expression and his satisfaction and the most us who do it. But if there's a creator, man and woman he made, and replenish the earth. And in spite of the movie, there ain't no men in the history of mankind carrying a baby around in their bosom. Inside. Who was it? That German actor? That Schwarzenegger? They got pregnant? If we are just a more complex animal, the rest of these verses condemning sin are irrelevant gibberish. But if there is a creator, a master of the universe, and if man was created for a purpose in ancient Catholic theology, to glorify God and bring pleasure to him. You can't change the rules of the game. That's what we've been talking about. And all have sinned. When we talked about righteousness, God, I'm going to be crude again. If God exists, whatever he does is righteous. I'll make the point by shock. If he breaks wind, it's righteous. Now, some of you think that the same is true of you, but it isn't. Whatever he does is righteous. Whatever he says is righteous. It's righteous because he says it. He's not on trial. But when he says something, he's proven himself faithful. That's an outstanding attribute. He's a faithful God. And all have sinned, including the sins outlined from this 24th verse through the 32nd, and come short, and that's why he'll jump into the second chapter without a pause and say, wherein you judge another, you're guilty yourself. Well, I didn't do those things you just enumerated. You are in spirit as they are. That's just the fruit of putting self first and refusing to deny self to the master. And sin at its root is described in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. Homosexuality is your own way. If there's no God, it's as right as any way. I feel like Christians trying to justify evolution, don't try to get God's blessing on it. Don't try to rewrite the scripture. There's a reason why they won't let it be read in Canada, because gay rights movements have gotten it barred. And this chapter will end with the toughest condemnation on those who approve these things. Not enough for them to do it. They demand approval of it. Keep your coupling to yourself. eternal. And I wish as a preacher I could get a smitten heart on the part of those that practice lying every day. They sit and applaud when they think that some sin is being lambasted that they're not guilty of. You're all guilty. You won't deny self. And like clay to the potter, go to the Creator. And I've said over and over again, this will be about the seventh time, R.C. Sproul's definition of atheism is psychological. They don't want a master. The perversion and caricaturing of Christianity, where righteousness is shaped in your performance, is the same thing. You don't want a master. As long as Jesus handed out bread and fishes and miracles, they mobbed him. He said, if any man will come after me and not deny himself and take up his cross, he can't be my disciple. And when it came to his cross, which redeemed the world, not one of them was there. No one with him. It's a tough message, as I've said over and over. Von Bowman, that great pastor in Detroit, once told me, he asked me to succeed him, but he said, Gene, your message of grace and faith is right. But you give the congregation any license, I got to get the whip out and beat them back in place with the law. The way of grace and faith is not easier than legalism. I've been accused of preaching an easier message because it's grace and faith. Faith, as I said this morning, is the other side of faithfulness. It's step by step and day by day. Can God trust you? I learn every day as I go along that yesterday's performance doesn't quite do it for today. I have new tests of trust every day. But the world seeks approval. If you read that 32nd verse, they own the mind of the world now. They suppress any breaking out of the Creator. This can't be. Now wait a minute. Somebody has to look after my glasses. I lose them. That's the second time or third time now already. What do you mean? Aren't they fair people? No, they're not. Totally unfair. Not a fair bone in their body. They are preachers of a false doctrine. Now, here's a book. I haven't been known to quote him too often. He's not one that I had a close past relationship with, but I'm impressed with this book, Tim LaHaye, Mind Siege. The Humanist Bible. Humanism, naturalism, scientism, different names for the same thing. Here's their opening statement by Paul Kurtz, editor of their magazine. Have I warned you? No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Hundreds of humanists put their names to the manifesto in 1933. Those who shaped the education of this country, the medical profession, names that some of you have encountered in textbooks, Isaac Asimov, Francis Crick, Sidney Hook, B.F. Skinner, Sir Julian Huxley. Oh, and then Human Manifesto 2000, call for a new planetary humanism, printed in the fall of 99, written by Paul Kurtz, editor of the magazine. This version signed by such humanists as Richard Dawkins, the barking terrier of evolution, Sir Arthur C. Clarke, Steve Allen, Richard Leakey, Alan Cranston, the walking ghoul in the Senate, remember? I mean, his manifesto just exhibited joy all the time. looked at Alan Cranston. He gave me some hope that these humanist people will not be able to attract. I mean, I don't know how he could sell. I don't know how he could sell an electric heater with a generator to an Eskimo at the North Pole. These sad people with no hope. Look at what they had to say. Can I bore you a little? The Human Manifesto. I'll read directly from some of it. Humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. Holding an organic view of life, humanists find the traditional dualism of mind and body must be rejected, and yet nobody can ever figure out how the mind and consciousness. We affirm that moral values derive their source from human experience, not from God. Ethics is autonomous and situational, could change at any time depending on the circumstances, needing no theological or ideological sanction. Ethics stems from human need and interest. To deny this distorts the whole basis of life. Human life has meaning because we create and develop our futures. Happiness and the creative realization of human needs and desires individually and in shared enjoyment are continuous themes of humanism. Women should have the right to control their own bodies. This includes reproductive freedom, voluntary contraception, and abortion. The opportunity for appropriate sexual education should be made available from an early age. We need to develop a new human identity, membership in a planetary community. Okay. The time has come for widespread recognition of the radical changes in religious beliefs throughout the modern world. The time has passed for mere revision of traditional attitudes, Christianity. Science and economic change have disrupted the old beliefs. Religion the world over are under the necessity of coming to terms with new conditions created by a vastly increased knowledge and experience. We believe, however, that the traditional dogmatic or authoritarian religions that place revelation, God, ritual, or creed above human needs and experience do a disservice to the human species. Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusory and harmful. They distract humans from present concerns, from self-actualization, and from rectifying social injustices. Modern science discredits such historic concepts as the ghost in the machine and the separable soul. And because of the tunnel that controls everybody's mind and presents to the generation of your children their religion of humanism and naturalism and scientism as fact when it isn't. And evolution is the greatest fraud ever worked on mankind. But they've won the day. So while going back to what I was saying earlier, when I get on something, you see it everywhere. I mean, it took them a few weeks to start mounting the defense. Somebody might be listening to me. I'm poking holes in the tunnel. And unlike, there are plenty of preachers that have an hour here and a half hour there. Unlike other kinds of networks, I can play this message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 24/7. They can't do anything about it. This is what you're a part of. Now let me prove my point of the rallying now. Scott's making noise again, a new area. We got to keep the world in our clutch. You know where, except for me, and debates that are not attended by large masses of people. Somebody sent me a magazine, San Francisco Weekly. They have great faith in my moral capacity to withstand what's in this magazine. San Francisco Weekly. I mean, every kind of sexual deviant in the world can find satisfaction in the ads that are listed here. I mean, Swing Locally, QuestPersonals.com, Hot and Live, Hot Horny College Girls, Hot Horny Housewives. Nothing like a king's massage, Paradise Oriental Massage. We're here to help you, this one says. Why am I showing you this? This is a sex pot throwaway junk piece of paper. And yet, it has a brilliant, high quality, worthy of the top science journals in America publication article, Looking for God at Berkeley, by Mark Athatakis. A provocative theory called intelligent design claims evolution is hogwash, but it's not the usual religious zealots leading the latest attack on Darwin. It's science, scientists, and professors at Cal. This long article, particularly focusing on Jed Mikosky, looking at the E. coli bacteria, Mikosky says your natural assumption is that there must be another intelligence out there, whether it's an alien life form or some deity or something from outside our universe. This is a thoroughly written, as I said, article that should be on the cover of Time. Brilliantly written. Submitted to the evolution tunnel-controlled scientific community, they will not publish it. The truth has to be published in a sick journal that no man would bring home for his kids to see or his wife to see if he's got anything above moron intelligence. Because you can't get to the article, the articles, after you get through all the other stuff. That's the back door, backyard, across the track, place that truth has been relegated to, and that's why they don't like me, because here we are, you're paying the bill, God's blessing, we're around the world, the only thing that can stop us is you not being here. That's all that can stop us. You not being here. But they have to go to a magazine like this to tell the truth about intelligent design. On festival last week, for 2.5 hours, I read in detail the dating game and blew apart the dating of that KCBS or KBS tough at Lake Rudolph, and now called Lake Turkana, where the Leakeys have worked, and where so much in archaeology and anthropology has burst forth in the so-called predecessors of man, in the evolution of man. 5 different independent dating methods. The total spread, though it's sort of lost as I read the article, the first dating, 4 to 5 different methods, potassium argon being the start. The first dating, as far back as 200 million years. But then that would not jibe with the previously concluded pattern of evolution that is unproven. And evolution proceeds, as I had these letters on the board last Sunday. If a predecessor to man and an earlier form of man is in sequence, you have A, B, C, D. And if you find what's supposed to be the result of this evolution, B, hundreds of thousands of years before A, or concomitant with A, pretty hard to say A produced D. And that's what you find in the fossil record. And so when they find someone that suppose to be B, as dated 200,000 years before A crops out by their own formula, you've got to eliminate that. You got to either say the fossil's fraud, or you got to start dating until you get a date that'll work. And from 200 million, and then in the closer ones later on, from 17.5 million years, and I said 200,000, not 200 million, 17.5 to 500,000 years was the spread. So they throw the rocks out that aren't young. And then they still find a fossil they can't explain, and all the dating methods are thrown out because they found elephants and pigs in similar fossils, and some guy comes with his formula proving pigs are younger than the elephants, and therefore, because pigs were found in that fossil, throw out all the dating method. We must make the date work to our theory, because they're frauds. They're not at all using a scientific method. They are propagating a rebellion against a creator. And as the Matthias word said, they do it with evil intent, substituting themselves for God, and by dialogue, substituting their word for the word of God. And God takes their God sense from them, and professing to be wise, they become morons. It was like the Planet of the Apes. We already have it. The morons are ruling under the guise of being professor, and they control all the channels of communication, except this one. Now, you saw, oh, I'm running out of time. I only got 10 minutes. You saw what kind of magazine the truth had to be published in. They make fossil discoveries all the time. There are tens of thousands of them, except they never find any missing links. Never find any hybrids. I will probably read on Festival the complicated, irreducible complexity of those first few hours and first 3 days of conception, and the protections on the egg that is impregnated against a chemically foreign sperm. This is why an orangutan can rape this cook, and they're not going to be hybrid born. The sperm may make their attempt, and it's as amazing as the, more so than the bombardier beetle complication, where simultaneous things had to evolve instantly for the whole system to work. Like a mousetrap that must have all five parts. Blood clotting. The most amazing thing in the world that keeps you from bleeding to death is this series of things that must happen for blood to clot. And the amazing thing that goes on. In fact, the scientists call it a kind of perfume as the egg begins its trip down the canal toward the uterus. And it will not live long enough to get there. But the sperm's racing to get there because there's a kind of perfume or some kind of attraction emitted to this little sperm to make it seek it. And a series of things that must happen instantly, all of which had to evolve at the same time. This is not just true of humans, it's true of all the species. No crossing of kind to another kind. But evolution is a fact, doesn't matter, don't bother me with real facts, because this is the fact. You have to go to sex magazines to get the truth. Look what's on the cover of Time this week. How apes became human. I got about 7 minutes. And it, Gary Condit's Secret Life is put down in the corner. And I'm sure it's by design, this ape, you're going to see this on camera, this ape looks like he is shocked with Condit's behavior. Look at that expression. I read this article that now is out because somebody might be listening to me, so let's get on the cover of Time. What page is this cover story? I don't get very far in, and there's my Lord of Mercy. Page 54. But I can only turn a couple of pages, and there's President Kennedy. No, not Kennedy, but Clinton. There's Clinton already right in there. And then here's the Sporting Life with Clinton, 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 Clinton. Well, let's go to 54. Time will have to thank me. I should get a commission for the magazines they're going to sell now. One giant step for mankind. Meet your newfound ancestor, a chimp-like forest creature that stood up and walked 5.8 million years ago. There's some interesting little comments here that my congregation will not be enamored with. Luckily, the fossils were trapped in sediments that were sandwiched between layers of volcanic ash, whose age can be accurately gauged by a technique known as argon-argon dating. This is fact. The verdict found, and by other primitive animals, see, they date with fossils, other primitive animals found with the hominoid remains. Most of the fossils are between 5.6 million and 5.8 million years ago. The one toe bone is a few hundred thousand years younger. Haile Selassie, not the emperor, and his colleagues haven't collected enough bones yet to reconstruct with great precision what this thing looks like. It makes it roughly the same size, 4 feet tall, as Lucy, the famous 3.2 million year old human ancestor discovered about 50 miles away. And there's even further along the evolutionary track. They walked upright. The inch-long toe bone makes that clear. This toe bone proves the creature walked on two legs. There it is. No, you haven't got it. Over here, where my finger is. That toe bone right there. That's it, folks. A couple of little bones. And then they have that he walked upright. Cadalba, they call him. Albert Cadalba. Paleontologists suspected for nearly 200 years that bipedalism was probably the key evolutionary transition that split the human line off from the apes. And fossils discovered four back as the Java man support that notion. The only trouble with this theory is it's wrong. That the trees went away and the grasslands, they had to walk differently. That smells of Lamarckism, where cranes had to wade out ever deeper in water and stretch, and that made their legs get longer. And the reason that this upright posture made him survive and others die. They always get to this. Men get happy now. We have one on the predecessor monkeys. The Kent State Lovejoy, the real answer for their survival is sex. Males who were best at walking upright would get more of it. Leading to more offspring, I'm telling you. I don't know how this guy does it, but walking upright ain't the most famous way that I've heard of. Males who were best at walking upright would get more of it, leading to more offspring who were good on two legs, who in turn got more sex. Is that the way it actually happened? Maybe we never know for sure. What's the way to back out now? There are all sorts of hypotheses, and they're all fairy tales. Really, you can't prove anything. Which side of the chiminoid split they're on, going to a similar one, another similar fossil, depends upon and determined by further analysis and new finds. Maybe one of the earliest chimps or an ape that became extinct could be a creature paleontologists have been dreaming of finding for decades. Whether bipedalism should still be considered the defining characteristic of being human, still just an intriguing question. After all birds have wings, but not all creatures with wings are birds. Maybe two-legged walking evolved independently in several branches of the primate family. This might be the first example of a creature it's not possible to label as a hominoid ancestor or chimp ancestor. You can't tell which, but that doesn't make it the last common ancestor of both. I think it's going to be very hard to pin the tail on that donkey. Clearly, there are still plenty of questions to ask and plenty of surprises left to uncover in the ancient sediments of eastern Africa, but they didn't say they uncovered, did they? A few bones, hardly analyzed, uncriticized really in peer pressure, a couple of students found these bones, and long, long ago, I read this one more thing before I call it quits today. Back 5 million years ago, the Canopoi humerus is an elbow bone I'll talk about probably on festival. But the Laetoli footprints, I said a little about them the other day. I want to say it now and then close this message. Will you stay with me? Well, I got everything I was going to do marked, and I did none of the things I marked, but it's one of these things. Okay, here we are. From Bones of Contention by Lubinow. Beginning in 1978, associates of Mary Leakey discovered a series of what appeared to be, I just referenced it last Sunday, now I want to give you some detail, discovered a series of what appeared to be human footprint trails at Site G, Laetoli, 30 miles south of the Olduvai Gorge in northern Tanzania. The strata above the footprints has been dated at 3.6 million years of age, and I blasted that for 2.5 hours on festival as I read the dating game. Unreliable, from 17.5 to 500,000 years. And they picked the one to link it with pig fossils. So this is not a fast date, but it's reported as one. While the strata below has been dated at 3.8. These footprint trails rank as one of the great fossil discoveries in the 20th century. Mary Leakey told the story in April 79, National Geographic. She described the footprints as remarkably similar to those of modern man. Three parallel trails are seen, made by three individuals, with one individual walking in the footprints of another. The trails contain a total of 69 prints, extending a length of about 30 yards. More prints may yet be uncovered. The prints were made in fresh volcanic ash spewed out by Mount Sadaman to the east. A unique combination of circumstances caused these amazing prints to be preserved. These footprint trails have produced a large body of literature. Virtually everyone agrees that they're strikingly like those made by modern humans. In spite of that fact, the evolutionist community has ascribed them to the Lucy-type hominoid known as Australopithecus afarensis. This taxon included mandibles found elsewhere at Laetoli, as well as fossils found in the Afar region of Ethiopia. The assumption based on the somewhat similar ages of the fossils, by the way, same area, this Time article, in the Ethiopia region, the assumption based upon the somewhat age of the fossils in two different localities and the belief that Afarensis was bipedal is that Afarensis fossils represent the type of individuals who made the Laetoli footprints. Just like man can't be this old. Man, in their theory, had to separate. Chimps went one way, man went the other way, and a predecessor is here, an ape man. So if they find something back there before chimps and human fossil dating, it's got to be something other than human, no matter how human it is. And therefore, you got to have an artist portray from a toe bone and a couple other bones this hairy ape man as our predecessor. The specialist who has conducted the most extensive recent study of these footprints is Russell H. Tuttle, University of Chicago. He did so at the invitation of Mary Leakey. The footprint trails at Laetoli appear to have been made by individuals who were barefoot, probably habitually unshod. I remember God making any shoes for Adam. This is a matter of fact. When Tuttle began his study, he discovered that very few studies had been done on habitually unshod peoples. Studies done on the footprints of shod people would not necessarily be applicable to the Laetoli prints. As part of Tuttle's investigations, he observed that the Macaguanga Indians in the rugged mountains of Peru, a habitually barefoot people, and he took more than 70 individuals from ages 7 to 67, both male and female, and constituted his study. He concludes, quote, in sum, the 3.5 million year old footprint trails at Laetoli Site G resemble those of habitually unshod modern humans. None of their features suggest that the Laetoli hominoids or hominids were less capable bipeds than we are. Elsewhere, Tuttle writes, in discernible features, the Laetoli G prints are indistinguishable from those of habitually barefoot Homo sapiens. He is especially struck with the similarity of the Laetoli prints to those of the Macaguanga Indians. Casts of Laetoli G1 and of Macaguanga footprints in moist sandy soil further illustrate the remarkable humanness of Laetoli hominoid feet in all detectable morphological features. Not only did Tuttle reject the notion that the Laetoli footprints were made by Australopithecus afarensis, but he found that the former work of those on those footprints by J.T. Stern and Randall Sussman, State University of New York, Stony Brook, was flawed. In any case, he said we should shelve the loose assumption that the Laetoli footprints were made by Lucy's kind, Australopithecus afarensis. The Laetoli footprints hint that at least one other hominoid roamed Africa at about the same time. My studies on the Laetoli footprints provide no support for the apish model of Stern and Sussman, who in fact waffled from their initial position on the basis of undocumented rumors about faults in the casts they had studied. The real problem, the only problem, is that to ascribe these fossil footprints to Homo does not fit the evolutionary scenario time-wise. According to the theory of evolution, those footprints are too old to have been made by true humans. It's a classic case of interpreting facts according to preconceived philosophic basis. Another, William Howes. He is a noted evolutionist. The humeral fragments from Kanepoi, with a date of about 4.4 million, could not be distinguished from Homo sapiens morphologically or by multivariate analysis by Patterson and myself in 67, or by much more searching analysis by others since then. We suggested that it might represent Australopithecus because at that time allocation to Homo seemed preposterous, although it would be the correct one without the time element. We just can't allow it to undo our view of the philosophy of the origin of man by evolution, which is going to produce, since we are nothing but an advanced mammal, let's do it like mammals do on the Discovery Channel. There is no truth. An educational system is born. We do not embrace any truth. Truth is what works. Survival of the fittest. Protecting self. Self-sacrifice is anathema to the evolutionist position. Self-sacrifice is anathema to the humanist position. You are the center of the universe. You are the peak of the evolutionary chain. You and your existence is the most important thing, and we should train our children. In fact, one of the evolutionists is suggesting the children should be taken from religious parents. They won't get that one across. But that's how prejudicially committed they are to their anti-God religion. I don't want a master. I want to be the master. I don't want his words to rule. I want my words to rule. And having succeeded because of an overreaction to an equal idiocy of medieval churchmen who got caught up in their authority and promoted their words also as the truth, just remember, the Reformation took Christianity back to an objective constitution, the Bible. For 15 centuries, the church had preempted to itself that it was the Word of God, that when it met and spoke, even reaching still true in today's world, that when the Pope spoke on a subject where he is speaking as Vicar of Christ, he's asked to render a decision, what he says is infallible. The Word of God became organic, and for 15 centuries, the Church was the Word. When they said it, it was as much God's word to the century they were saying it as Paul's word was to the Corinthians. Their current words and decisions stood on equal basis with Paul, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the recorded messages of Jesus. They did not dismantle or throw out the word. It was unnecessary. They respect the word. They were forced to pay more attention to it as the Reformation brought the Word into common people's hands. They even quoted the Word in Mass in a tongue the common people didn't understand. The Reformation gave an objective criteria. I've never asked this congregation to believe something because I say it. I try to unravel the Word in such a way, and I say, go check all the commentaries, that you yourself, giving a scholarly analysis and a look at the same passage, can come to your own conclusion. And usually I'm surprised if you come to a different one because of the research that I put in. I'm not asking you to follow me. I am giving to you Paul, the great ambassador of the gospel that he preached, that my Savior brought and died to obtain. That's an objective word. I respect scientists who use science to look at the facts and let the facts bring forth the opinion. But we're facing an overreaction of the pendulum that swung against a medieval church that set it up, itself up as God and used their dialogue, usually in a foreign tongue, and mystical ways to bend and control the minds of the people. The burst of freedom has swung too far to where scientists riding the surfboard of their accomplishments, which are many, these lights and these microphones and the health advantage and the lifestyle that they give us that is much better than primitive style. Science has made great contributions. Scientism. Surfboards on that. As the medieval church surfboarded and twisted and substituted their dialogue and their perverted minds for God, and thus saith the Word of God. Scientists have perverted the respect that science is due to take their perverted dialogues of philosophy and sell it as fact and run an intellectual inquisition as capable of silencing voices as that which Loyola started in the medieval period. That's what we're fighting. That's what you're here, among other reasons, because I'll go on in Romans. It's still got 16 chapters. This message is to make us understand that when there's a creator and a master and Sabaean, awareness of his presence and accountability to him and trusting him and walking away that he can trust us who's ever with us. If that presence of an almighty creator that makes us fall down and sing the song, O Lord my God, how great thou art. These sins in his presence are sufficient to collapse the soul. I've wronged thee, O God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I have no interest in camping out on the sins that you can read in your own Bible. Some of them will fit every person in this congregation. The question is whether or not God so turns loose of you because you trivialize the knowledge you have that you cannot escape the clutches of that sin that binds you and be set free and become, I don't care what you call natural, a new creature in Jesus Christ. A new creation in Jesus Christ. A gift from God because you've learned to trust Him. You don't have to worry about these sins if that's the case. And that's my message for today. And that is my message for today. The question is, did you get it? And will you keep your promise to make reservations? If you're going to keep your promise, start doing it right now. I got a house full of voices of faith, so get on the telephone. You know, I'm getting some wonderful reports of miracle testimonies from the miracle service. I hope you're making your reservations for next Sunday night miracle service as well as the Sunday morning service at the cathedral next Sunday. We only have about 7 more minutes on local channel 56. We'll continue live, but make your calls now. Come on, get on the telephone. Now, as I said this morning, it's that 25 to 50 that think their reservation will be not missed that make the difference. This is a spiritual battle we're in, folks. Whether or not this congregation will sock it to the devil by doing what an onlooking world thinks is impossible. Requiring people to make a reservation to come to church. They don't have to make a reservation on Saturday when we're part of the historic walk. But this is a special service that testifies to the worth of God's Word. You make a reservation. And look at this. That's something I want to read to you. No numbers from Santa Monica. First time caller. Doc, I attended a historical society tour a while back, and one of the stops was at your church, because we are a National Historic Monument. In fact, two of them. I was able to get the city to agree to wed two historic monuments, the Jesus Saved signs and that building, in one place. I didn't get to see all the Bibles at that time because I couldn't walk very well, but what I did see was very impressive, especially the Mohawk Bible. I'd never seen one. I'd like to hear your teaching. My friend helped me track you down. Please give me a reservation to the cathedral next Sunday. That's nice. And in today's world, with no morals or integrity anywhere, it seems, when you've been around as long as I've been around, 26 years on television in this city, there's been more than one time we've had to call the postal inspectors out. On one occasion, a person got a P.O. box in the same post office we had, Dr. Gene Scott. Well, not that many running around with a P.O. box. We've had to deal with missing mail more than once. Now, here's a case from San City, California. We mailed a check 6/17, that's a month ago, on approximately 6/17. It hasn't yet cleared, please. Check your account. The amount was $10,000. Top payment on it. And send another one. Because if it hasn't cleared, we haven't got it. Now, I wouldn't want you to have it. We don't leave them lay around. So if somebody has it that shouldn't have it, I'll bring it up to the postal inspectors, but stop payment on your check and send another one. That's San City, California, King's Tyler 873. This is encouraging. You know, we have our ranch up in Indian Valley. I did my master's thesis on it. My parents have pastored 80 miles away in Oroville. And had their home on Lake Almanor, 10 miles away. And we have our hay ranch up there, Indian Valley. He's in Yuma, Arizona now. I think this is nice. I'm an old man, retired, and I listen to Dr. Scott all the time on the shortwave radio. He's sure the best thing on the air. My name is, and he gives his name, and I'm related to half the population of Indian Valley. Well, everybody up there except me is related to half the population of Indian Valley, so I know this is true. Especially the Greenville, and he gives the name. Well, it could be, it's not, but like saying the Greenville Scots, only he gives a different name. They own the giant dairy farm. I'm not going to tell you where. In a certain place in the Greenville Basin. I'm the son of my father's second marriage to a Roman Catholic woman, so I didn't find out about this side of my family until I was older. But I bet Dr. Scott knows some of them. The ones he named, I do. They've been in that area for over 100 years. They got me beat. But not by much. My name is, he gives it to me again, his phone number. Tell him he's the best. Well, thank you for that message. I appreciate it. But here are the exciting ones. Sir, I've been a diabetic for 5 years and taken insulin. I've been going to the miracle service now. My diabetic doctor told me that I don't have to take no more insulin. Praise God. All the credit goes to our God. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you for the miracle service. Sir, I want to report what I believe to be a miracle. About 12:30 this afternoon, I suffered what I was sure was a heart attack. I had all the symptoms. At one point, I almost lost consciousness. I was able to drive myself to the emergency ward. And between then and 7:10 p.m., I was able to take communion 3 times. The doctor said I must have had a spasm of the esophagus since all my heart tests came back normal. I believe God healed me. That's that misdiagnosis again. He did it himself, but I'm with him. God healed him. Even if it was a spasm of the esophagus, taking communion did away with it, didn't it? I put in a prayer request for, and he gives me the name, diagnosed with cancer of the lymph glands. I just got the results of his test, and doctors can't find the cancer. We know why. Praise God for his healing power. Greer, South Carolina, I want to record and report a miracle. I called yesterday for a man who's 90 years old. His name is, and he gives it to me, diagnosed with prostate cancer. Water was running, no control. I know all of those symptoms that go along with prostate cancer. Today he is completely healed, up and walking around. The doctors are completely amazed. That's nice, isn't it? Chico, California, up near 22 miles from Orville. I used to drive there in my undergraduate years every day to college. I just wanted to share this bit of news with you. I went to an ear, nose, and throat specialist a while back to see about my allergies, and after the initial exams, the doctor said that they thought it might be cancer. I immediately went home and began taking the bread and wine and been every day, claiming the promises of grace and healing. Well, I went to the doctor yesterday for further tests, and upon the doctors looking up and around there, they found nothing, including what they had found originally. I've been healed, thank God. That's nice to say. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray. You remember when Dr. Gregory Neal was here from Texas? He was with us in one of the miracle services and on Sunday morning. He has suffered some blood clots on his legs that moved up to his lungs and caused him to cough up some blood. He needs our prayers. You'll be praying for him, won't you? Make your reservation for the miracle service next Sunday night. In the next half hour, we'll be going to the table of the Lord, but not this half hour, so get on the telephone. Now, I'm a little better than I was last Sunday, but we still have a long ways to go. We ought to have all the reservations I need by Wednesday noon in today. Just because you called the reservation doesn't mean you don't need to stay on the phone. Keep faith in here. Every time we take communion here can be a miracle service for those here and for those of you out there. Now get on the telephone. Get your prayer requests in. Make your reservations. Generate faith. I have a house full of voices of faith. And you voices of faith, don't sit by a phone that isn't ringing. Just get up and move around and find one that's ringing. But every phone should be busy. Now come on. Wake up from the Sunday afternoon doldrums and get on the telephone. The simple thing I'm asking. You create the sense that it's a privilege to go to the cathedral on Sunday morning. Well, whatever you're trying to do, it must not be working, or you wouldn't have to work so hard to get the people to do it. Well, tell that to the dead Israelites, that God works so hard to try to get them to go into the promised land. That's this humanistic, pragmatic, progressive education product, naturalistic scientism, generation talking. You prove the degree to which you have been contaminated by this me-first society, by the way you react to a line drawn in the sand that says to you that Jesus is not what some churches suggest, some friendless waif waiting outside your door, knocking on it, trying to get accepted by you. Jesus told a parable in which he said, in response to the question, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any. And then when quizzed about talking in parables, he did it to separate, really, those that he wanted in the kingdom and those he didn't. So he cloaked the truth in parables, lest they see and perceive, hear and understand. I haven't changed a whit from the day I came here 26 years ago, saying I would not build another church like any other church you can find in the Yellow Pages. I came looking for that uncommon person. Never dreamed then, in spite of the prophecy of Clara Grace, that we would be taken round the world the way that we are, until your presence on Sunday morning makes a testimony. You want to tell me what kind of testimony was being made by the mobs that followed Jesus for his miracles and for loaves and for fishes? The testimony was, we'll go wherever we get what we want, and follow any man that looks out for our wants. As I said this morning, where were they when he saved the world? Even his disciples wouldn't watch and pray with him for 1 hour. Nothing's changed. It's played down because today's ministry is a contradiction to this. Few there be that go in thereat. Many called, few chosen.
I'm preaching the same message that Paul preached, and his ministry came to what history records as the closing record. Only Luke is with me. Jesus had nobody at the cross. Paul had only Luke. By those records, I'm asking the impossible. But I dare to do it. You are put on record every Sunday. And therefore, you are a testimony to self-serving Christianity or self-sacrificing, dedicated, faithful Christianity. I will settle for nothing less than the latter. That's what these reservations are about. A grown-up, committed willingness to make a commitment and keep it and testify to it. In a generation that wants to go where they want on their own time as they see fit. Well, I have Sunday. I need to do some things for myself. Well, then take a day off from work. Well, I got to go out of town to see some friends. Well, take a day off from work. Well, they're working. Well, tell them to stay up late. Or come to the cathedral with you. This is a congregation pastored by someone that demands you stand up for something. And that's what this is about. So you better get on the telephone and keep these phones busy and do it now.